I want to do the smallest of introductions only to tell you that this guy is important for me and Matthias. Not only he's heading up Forge Europe and is our, like, let's say, like a manager. What do you call yourself? He's like a director that we run Forge Stockholm, the mission training school. He's the lead pastor at Whiteinch Church in Glasgow. He's also been heading up New Wine in Scotland. This guy is a blessing to the church. We are so happy to have him here. So I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I pray your anointing over Alan right now. Father, I pray your blessing over him as he's faithfully serving even outside of Stockholm. Outside of what? Scotland. Cool. We're in Stockholm. It's okay. Pray your blessing over him. Father, he has a calling on his life to Glasgow, Scotland, Europe. He has a calling on his life, and we want to release your blessing over him in this place. Father, that you would equip us and encourage us through him in this place for the things that you have set aside for us to do here. Yeah. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know where you are?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Thank you. Good afternoon. And thank you for the welcome. I have to say that I was slightly nervous to be prayed for there. During our weekends, we have just had a Forge weekend, and Steph was praying at different points, and she actually prayed that someone would be a skunk for Jesus. I don't know how that translates into Swedish, but in English, that's not a nice thing. So it seems strange to be prayed for, to be a skunk for Jesus. That's you, by the way. Yeah, there you go. And you can ask her later why she prayed that. Anyway, let's open our Bibles together. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to read together from Luke chapter 10 and reading from verse 1 to verse 9, and we'll get to that in a minute. So just to say again, my name is Alan. I am a pastor from Scotland. I am the leader of Forge Europe, and it's a privilege to be able to be here and to see what God is doing amongst you in this place, which I think is Stockholm. Just to be clear, that's correct, I presume. I am in the right place. I haven't been to Sweden before, and really the only connection I have with Sweden is a guy called Henrik Larsson. Yeah. You know Henrik Larsson? Yeah, he played football for Celtic. I'm a Rangers fan, so I don't care about that. Okay, so I don't like Henrik Larsson. You can keep him. We're glad he retired. We do not want to see him again in Scotland. Keep him to yourself. Don't, and do not send anyone else that's as good as that to play for Celtic ever again. Okay, so that's what I want to say about Henrik Larsson and saying, which is a bit rude, I'm sorry. Let's read together from the Bible, from Luke chapter 10. If you have it, let's read together. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those who are ill and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." I come from Scotland, and I think that Scotland will be very similar in many ways to the situation in Sweden. The last survey that was done in Scotland of Christian affiliation and commitment indicated that less than 2% of the Scottish population are now Bible-believing Christians. The World Convention on World Evangelization, the Lausanne Convention on World Evangelization, defines an unreached people group as anything that is less than 2% of Bible-believing Christians. And so in the last 5 years, Scotland has qualified as an unreached people group. Scotland doesn't qualify for much, as you're going to hear tonight when we lose again at the football to whoever it is that we're playing. We don't qualify much for most things, but we've qualified for this. We've qualified to get on the list of unreached people groups. And I'm guessing that in Sweden that's probably true too, that the statistics are probably similar, if not worse than that. In my denomination, I'm a Presbyterian minister within the Church of Scotland. We now have, sorry, this is annoying me. I'm going to move these. Sorry, can't actually see you. Oh, that's better. There you go, sorry. It's good that these microphones are switched off. Right, anyway, in my denomination, which is the Church of Scotland, we now have, wait for this is good, an end date. We have a closing date for our denomination, which is 2033, okay? So our statistics are so bad and declining so quickly that the statistics are now saying that by 2033, there will be nobody left in the Church of Scotland. Now, I am, I have to do the maths, can't work that out. How many years is that from now? That's about 16 years, isn't it? And I'm 48, which means I'll be 64. Right, I'm planning to still be alive. So I am probably going to be the only person left, or I might be the last person left in the Church of Scotland, according to these statistics. And I, at that point, I'm going to become what's called the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, which is a very prestigious position within my my denomination. Essentially, it's like being the Archbishop or the Cardinal, or it's like the Pope of the Church of Scotland. So by 2033, I'm going to be the Pope of the Church of Scotland, which is rather confusing because it's Presbyterian and has no bishops. But I am going to be the Pope of the Church, because by that time, nobody's going to be left. And I'm just going to change the rules, and I'm going to say it's okay to have bishops. In fact, it's okay to have a Pope. And at that point, I will be the only one left, and I will make myself Pope of the Church of Scotland. You have heard it here first. I don't think I've ever said that publicly before, and I'm so glad this is not being recorded. This is being recorded. Okay, but there is no video. There's no video, only audio. Okay, we're going to talk to each other before the end of the day. And okay, let's move on. So that's the background for me. I come from Scotland. It's very like Sweden. It's in decline. The church is in decline. We know that. But listen, I have seen what God can do amongst the people in Scotland. I have been part of the church that was planted in 1996. Six of us moved into an area called Whiteinch in Glasgow. And over these last 20 years, we have seen person after person, man and woman and boys and girls, coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know, people are not interested in the church. They are not interested in religion, but they are interested in Jesus. They are hungry for Jesus. They want to know Jesus. They want to know his power in their life. They want to know his love transforming them. And so, despite all the stories of the decline of the church, despite everything that is going on in Scotland, I have confidence that I will not be the Pope of the Church of Scotland. And I'm also confident that 2033 will not be the end of the Church of Scotland. In fact, I believe that the opposite is happening. God is pruning the vine so that it would grow again. He's cutting off branches which are dead so that the new branches would come to life again. I believe that by the time I get to, well, I don't know if it was 20, 33, but certainly by the time I get promoted to glory, I want to see a vibrant, worshiping, witnessing church in every community and network in Scotland. There are 1,500 communities of about 5,000 or 6,000 people in Scotland. So 1,500 places in Scotland, which I would love to see a vibrant, worshiping, witnessing church in by the time I die. And I believe that that is the commission that the Lord has placed upon the people that I am with in Scotland to do exactly that. That instead of saying, we will watch as the church quietly dies in the background, the people that I know are saying, we believe that the Lord is clearing the ground so that there would be opportunities for us to plant and to grow and to develop the things of the kingdom of God. And I believe that as we think about this passage from Luke chapter 10, we see very simple and important lessons for us as we step into this missionary task that God has given to us. The first thing to say is this: the harvest is white. The harvest is white. People are hungry for God. People are desperate for God. You're talking about going into one of the New Age fairs next week. I went to one of the New Age fairs with Healing Rooms and an outreach organization. Must be 2 years ago now. And they don't really like it when we come in. I don't know if this happens to you, but what happens is that the people who are all around us, all these kind of strange kind of New Age people, we set up, and they come to us and they say, "You are sucking all of the power and all of the good energy into your space. Would you please leave?" And we say, "No. Why don't you come over here and we shall share some of the good power with you?" And we've had some amazing conversations. I remember a lady who came, and she was a Wiccan. She had come because she wanted to get some things from the different sort of shops and the different stalls that were there. She came to us. She had a sore back, and we said, "Can we pray for you? We pray for you in Jesus' name." And she said, "Yes, I'd love you to do that." And so we just began to pray. And as often happens, she just felt the power of God in her body. She actually felt huge heat on her back. And immediately she started screaming really loudly, "What have you done? Why are you touching? What did you do? How did that heat come on my back?" At which point all the team stepped away from her and said, we aren't touching you." And she said, "But there's power. There's heat on my back." And we said, "Okay, well, we believe that that's God." And she then said, what's going on?" And we said, "He's healing you." And she said, "How will I know?" And I'll say, "Well, what couldn't you do before you came today?" And she said, "Well, I couldn't bend over and touch my toes." So she started bending over and touching her toes. And then she started sort of jumping about and doing all sorts of strange gymnastics, and which was peculiar. And then she said, "Did you heal me?" And we said, "No, we didn't heal you." And she said, "Well, who did heal me?" And we said, "Jesus healed you." And she said, "I want to know Jesus. I want to know this healer. Can you tell me how to do that?" And we led her to know Jesus right there in the middle of the psychic fair, right there in the middle of all of these strange New Age things that were going on. She immediately said, "What do I now need to do to follow him?" And we said, "Well, why were you here today?" And she explained that she was a Wiccan. And before we said anything to her, she said, "I need to go home and get rid of all of that stuff, all of the white witch stuff, the Wiccan things that I have. I need to go home and do that." And she said, "I'll do that." And so we thought, okay, that's fine. So off she went, and she left. And she went away, and she was gone for the best part of 3 hours. and we didn't know she was coming back. She came back, though, and she said, I've taken everything to do with Wicca out of my house. I put it in a garbage bin in the back garden, and I set it on fire. And I've come back, and I want to ask the question, what do I do now? That's a good question. And so one of our team went and they talked to her about following Jesus and gave her a Bible and explained how to become a disciple and what she needed to do. And she's just one of so many people we've come across who are hungry for Jesus, who are longing for Jesus. In the last 2 years, we've begun a work amongst the recovery community, people who are coming through drug and alcohol addiction. We hadn't been involved in that for the 18 or 19 years that we'd started the church, but for various reasons, we began to be involved in that. And I should say that the church in White Inch, although there were six of us at the beginning, there's about 180 of us now. But we've never seen many people being saved each year. We maybe see one or two or three or four or five over those first 18 years. In the last 2 years, from February 2015 to February 2017, we have seen 65 adults coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, most of us, we are not a big church. That is a massive, massive number of people to come to faith for us. We have never seen that. And the reason is because we have turned ourselves towards the harvest field. We are, and I want to say, you are right beside the harvest field. And the harvest is white. But you need to turn into the field if you're going to bring the harvest home. You need to step into it. And you need to step into it amongst those who are hungry, desperate for Jesus. Whether that's those who are part of the New Age scene, who need to know the power and the love of God, or whether it's the recovery community that are just desperate to know something of the goodness of God in their life. That is what we have done. We have stepped in. We deliberately, we weren't doing it, and then we did. We stepped into this white harvest field, and we have seen more people coming to faith in these 2 years than we have in the previous 20 put together. So the first thing is this. The harvest is white. The second thing is this. And this is a bit you might not like. You are the answer to your own prayer. Yeah? You're the answer to your own prayer. Every time you pray for your neighbor, every time you pray for your family, every time you pray for your colleague, every time you pray for your fellow students, every time you pray and ask God to move in power, God is saying to you, yes, yes, but you are the answer. You are the one that I'm calling. What does it say? It tells us. It says, you know, pray to the Lord of harvest and he will send out workers into the harvest field. And then Jesus says, he turns to the disciples and say, go. You are the answer to your own prayer. And again, we have found that actually, as I say, we were been in White Inch for 18 or 19 years, and we've never been used amongst the recovery community until 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and to be honest with you, I was always jealous of the recovery community. There are maybe in the building we rent a building as well, and in the building we rent there are about 14 or 15 anonymous groups, so Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous and Gamblers Anonymous and all sorts of anonymous people, okay? And you might have seen them. You might have seen different meetings that they've had. But we were jealous of them. And the reason we were jealous of them is because they used to be, when we had finished our service, they used to be standing outside greeting one another. And your welcome team is lovely, but but nothing in comparison to an anonymous group. If you've ever seen them, they love one another. They embrace one another. They know each other by name. They are passionate for each other. And I was jealous about it. I'll be honest, I kind of thought, I wish the church was even half as welcome as these guys are. And so I've been praying about this. I've been saying, Lord, you know, what's going on? Why are they out there? Why can we not get anywhere near them? And eventually the Lord said, you are the answer to your own prayer. But only at the point where when we were sent some people who were able to actually share because they had come from a recovery background themselves. And so the question that this passage always leaves us with is, are you willing to be sent? Are you willing to be the answer to your own prayers? Because if you are, then the Lord will use you to do amazing things. The next thing that it teaches us is this. This passage teaches us that we need to go with nothing. We need to ask for help. And we need not to be distracted from the task that God has given to us. We need to go with nothing, ask for help. And we need to be not distracted from these other things. I want to say this, that I can't speak for what's happening in Sweden, but I can speak for the church in Scotland. We need to re-earn the right to share the gospel. We have so let down our nation with religion that is dead and unhelpful, that has pulled people away from God, that actually people don't trust us. People don't. If they were asked the question, what would the words be that you would use to describe the normal Christians? They would use words like hypocrite, homophobe. They would say judgmental. They would use words which speak about the church's inability to be able to express the love of God for the people of our nation. And that is particularly true as I've been involved in the recovery community. As I've listened to their stories over these last few years, I think that between 90 and 95% of the people who are in the recovery community are in some way have suffered from abuse, usually physical, often sexual, and for many of them, it's a whole variety of different things. Many of them, though, have suffered that abuse at the hands of the church. And that is the sad truth. Do you know why when you go into an anonymous group or any of these meetings, do you know why they utterly hate the church? Because so many of them have been abused by Christians. And we need to learn what it says here. We need to be, you know, we need to go in with nothing. We need to ask for help. We need to have a humble heart. We need to submit ourselves. We need to say, I'm so sorry. We need to apologize and repent for what others have done or perhaps what we have done. We have to have that attitude of heart that says, we need your help. And that's what these disciples did. They went with nothing. Don't take anything with you, Jesus said. Go so that you become dependent on the people that you are going to reach. And that's the thing that we also learn from this passage, that we need to go to them, not for them to come to us. Often what we do within the church is we put on things and we say, come to us. But actually what Jesus tells us is we need to go to them. We need to go to every community and neighborhood and network. We need to connect with people where they're at. Over this last 2 years, I've learned more about the recovery community, more about the 12-step process, more about what their life is like than I have ever known up till now. And it's because we have gone to them. I've sat in meeting after meeting after meeting, and I've listened to them as they've explained to me the story of how they came to be addicted and how they came through recovery. And what we need to do is we need to learn how to go to those who as yet do not know about Jesus. The other thing then, just a couple more things that we can pick out of this passage. The next one is this, that actually Jesus leads us to people of peace. People of peace are those who open the doorway for the gospel to enter into a new community. And when we went to this particular recovery community, started working with them 2 years ago, we did so because we were invited to do so by the chairperson of that initiative. And she asked us to come. Would you come and help? Would you come and be involved? And would you come and do the things that we need you to do? And she opened the way into that community for us. And what we found is that as we turn into the harvest field, God will lead us to people of peace. God leads us to people who might not actually be Christians themselves, often they're not, but they're open to the gospel. And they welcome us in and receive us. And then the last thing from this passage is this, that we are called to heal the sick and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. It used to be that that what we used to do was we used to try and convince people of the truth of the gospel. We spent a lot of time trying to kind of answer people's questions about whether this was true or whether that was true or how we could kind of convince them of the gospel. But do you know what people want? Again, I don't know if this is true in Sweden, but in Scotland, what people want is this. They want to know, does following God make any difference to my life? They want to know, does this stuff work? They want to know, they are purely asking that question of, you know, show me what he can do. And so that's what we do. That's why Jesus says, pray for those that they would be that are sick first, and then tell them the message. And that's so important for us to do. And again, what we found is this, that just as you found in your situation, we found actually the gifts that God gives through healing and prophecy and words of knowledge, these gifts are incredibly important for showing that God can actually break into people's lives. And it's only after they have known that God is real that they open themselves to the possibility of saying, tell me who this person is that did these things. For me, this passage is absolutely fundamental to who I am and to what I'm about. And I believe it's fundamental to the church at this stage in life as we face the decline of the church all around us and as society changes. And I want to say this, that actually, as we have pressed into this community to see these people discover the good news of Jesus Christ, as we have seen the recovery community coming to faith, we have established a new missional community, perhaps a bit like a church plant, within that community itself, who will be meeting actually right now in Glasgow. A group, we started with four of us who were leading it. There are now over 70 within that particular group. Within these last 2 years, we have seen that as we intentionally set our face to go and to move into the harvest field and to do so intentionally together, what we've seen is that God uses that and blesses that. And I want to say this to you, that I have, along with many others in Scotland, huge... huge honor for the Vineyard movement. We have been blessed so much by John Wimber and by all of the things that he brought to the church within Scotland. But this is the thing that I have. But this is the thing that I know about the church, the Vineyard Church. That not only are you renowned for being people who believe in the supernatural for today, but I also know that you are called to be a church planting movement. And I want to say to you today that each one of us is needed to be equipped and enabled to go and to start new churches and new missional projects wherever they are required today. And I want to encourage you to look in your community, to look not only in Stockholm but across Sweden, and to ask the same question that we have asked in Scotland, which is, how many churches would we need to plant to see the whole of our nation having a vibrant, worshipping, witnessing church in the midst of it? We've worked out that the number is about 1,500. Okay? Now, there already are a number of churches in Scotland that are vibrant and dynamic, that are worshipping and witnessing. But there are many, many places that are just simply disappearing. The church is just disappearing entirely. And so we have set our faces now to training and equipping and releasing as many church planters as we possibly can to go into every community and network within our nation. And over the next 20 years, that is what we have committed ourselves to doing. We believe that that's what God has said to us within Scotland. And I want to say to you, is that not exactly what you are called to do in this nation? Is that not exactly the spiritual inheritance that you as a Vineyard Church carry for this nation? There are so many of you here who are undoubtedly gifted in taking the good news to all those who do not know. 27 nations, is that what you said? 27 nations? That is hugely significant. 27 nations is hugely significant. Why would God bring 27 nations together into a single church? And I believe that the only answer is to equip you and then release you back out into your own communities and your own nationalities and your own networks to bring them the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you today. I want to ask you today whether or not you will hear the call that is here within Luke chapter 10, that Jesus speaks to us again and again. As we look at the white harvest and as we pray for our neighbors, the question is this: will you be the answer to your own prayer? Will you be the answer to your own prayer with your friends and your family and your neighbors? Will you be missionaries, not by crossing the world, but by crossing the street? Will you be those who will be the answer to these questions? Are you ready, as you do that, to turn into the white harvest? Are you ready to receive the harvest of souls that are going to be won as a result of you giving yourself to this task? And if you are willing, if you are ready, if you are going to be the answers to the question, if you are willing to win souls for Christ, step forward into the harvest field and see them come, then I want to pray for you just now that God would seal in your heart a determination that you would not just simply be part of church for the sake of being part of church, but that you would be part of church because you are called here to be equipped and enabled and sent out into the harvest field from this place. And I believe that that's part of your calling. I believe that that's what you are here to do. And if you want to do that today, then I want to ask you, if that is you, to stand where you are, and I want to pray for you, and I want to pray that God would release you and equip you and bless you. And so let's take a moment, It might not be you. Don't stand if you don't want to. That's okay. It might not be the right time for you to respond to God's call, but if it is, I want to pray for you. I want to ask, oh God, in your mercy, I pray now for my brothers and sisters. I ask, Lord God, that as they hear the call, that they would be the answer to their own prayer, that they would be the workers for the harvest field. I pray now, Lord God, that you would resolve in their hearts, that they would set their face towards this task, and they would not turn away until they see this nation won for Christ, that they would see this city and this nation where there would be a vibrant, worshiping, witnessing church in every community and network, that they would give themselves no rest until they see the harvest brought home. Lord Jesus, you have died that you would see the folks, the people in this community saved, that they would come to know you and love you. And so, Lord God, I pray for these people that have said yes today, that, Lord God, you would seal in their heart a commitment to say, yes, I will go, even if that means across the street, even if that means across the world, I will go because that is what you have called me to. And I ask, Lord God, that you would release to each and every one of them all that is required to be able to bring the harvest home. I pray, Lord, for those who have been praying for many years that they would see an increase in fruitfulness and soul winning. I ask, Lord God, that you would release, as you have released to us, that breakthrough in soul winning. I pray now that you you'd release that into this fellowship and into these people, Lord God, that from this day on, they too would see an increase now in seeing people saved and brought to know you. I ask, Lord God, that the evangelists in particular would rise up within this fellowship and would find great fruitfulness as a result of today. Release the anointing for soul winning, I pray. And I pray, Father, for more than that, that you would also increase the anointing for releasing new mission projects and new churches to be planted and new businesses to be initiated and all that is required to see the lost saved in this city and in this nation. And Father, I thank you that this church has a heritage of church planting. I thank you that it is part of what you've called this denomination, this stream to be. And I ask, Lord God, that they would increase in their faith and in their determination, that they would say, we will not turn away. We will not let the church die in this place, but instead we will press forward and we will take ground. And so I ask, Father, for a breaking of fear of man upon this place. I ask, Lord God, that they would no longer fear the consequences of what other people would say. They would no longer fear what other Christians would sometimes say, who say, well, what right have you to do this? And the answer is, we are sent by God to bring the good news. So, Lord, I pray that you would give them boldness and courage and tenacity. And I pray for them, Lord, that you would release strategies from heaven to allow them to take the next steps forward. I thank you, Father, that this church has already said yes to being sent. I thank you that they're going to move to the north and to the south. And Father, I pray for them that as they begin that process this year, that this would be the beginning of the multiplication that would happen in this place. I ask, Lord God, that not only would they move to the north and the south, but also to the east and the west, that they would be in the center and that they would be in every community that makes up this city. I ask, Lord, that they would be sent to other cities and other nations. And I ask, Lord God, that as they do that, they would be fully equipped and trained in all that is required to do it. I ask, Father, that this day would be marked as a day where you set this place aside as an apostolic sending center that is able to produce and multiply the things of the kingdom of God. And so, Lord God, I bless them and I thank you for them. And I pray, Lord God, that you'd raise up within them more and more people who are willing to say, I am saying yes. I am saying yes to being the answer to the prayer that I pray. I am saying yes to taking the good news to the lost. And I am saying yes to winning the souls of the white harvest that is right beside me. So, Lord God, I pray that you would release to them now everything that is required. I pray for favor unbounded. I pray for finances. I pray for people. I pray for buildings. I pray for strategies. I pray for connections into every area of culture that would allow them, Lord, to be able to bring the good news to every single person. Lord, let nobody be able to say that they have not heard the good news of Jesus Christ in Stockholm. In these next 5 years, in these next 10 years, in these next 20 years, at the end of that time, let there be no one who can say, I have never heard, I have never understood, I have never seen a Christian who is able to manifest the power of God. Let them all be able to say, I have seen it because they're right beside me in my community. And so, Lord God, give them boldness and courage now to step fully into all that you've called them to. And may your blessing be upon them now. For I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.